I want to share with you, in the end, what really matters. Why? Because we did the book of 1 and 2 Timothy last year in SIBKL. Every year we do a book study for the whole year. We exposit the book. Incidentally, this book is finished. All right? I just bought 80 copies with me, so it was sold out. So I was told that anyone of you want to order this, I wrote a book on Revelation called Chew on Revelation, not Choke on Revelation. And it's sold out, so you can order it. And it's very, to me, it's just my reflection and my thoughts as I taught the book of Revelation in 2021 for 13 weeks, cover to cover, verse by verse. And you can order it from the bookstore here. At my age of 78, I am 78, even though I don't like it. Whoa. In the end, what really matters? I take my cue from Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in a very unknown passage of scripture that very few people exposit on. Why? Because most people finish in verse 8. I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I finished a race, I kept the faith, and so on and so forth. And we stop there. And yet, from verse 9 onwards, there are 15 more verses. In other words, Paul had not finished speaking. These are not his last words. It's like a man at the end of his stage presentation took a bow. He's finished his public speaking. The lights have dimmed, the curtains are closed, and he's now gone to the backstage. Now, this is his final words. What he's saying to us, in the end, these things matter. What matters? Four things. So Paul writes, from verse 9 onwards, he says, do your best to come quickly to me. I'm going to read a few verses and then I'll move on. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me, has gone to Thessalonica. Grecians has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry, and so forth. Alexander, the metal worker, had did me great harm, and so on and so forth. Four things matter. The first thing is the people around you. At the end, it matters. The first thing Paul did as he had now gone to the backstage, he made two lists. The first list I call the Rogues Gallery. These are the people that were with me. Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me. In other words, Demas was with Paul. But at the end, he loved the world more than he loved the ministry. I call this the Demas disease or the Demas syndrome. And believe me, in my 30 years of ministry as a full-time pastor. Now, before that, I was still a bivocational pastor, doing medicine as well as pastoring. But for 30 years now, I went full-time. Why I go full time, that's another story. But I have seen many, many people who start well, but have the Dimas syndrome. They left me for the sake of the world. The first thing, as we come to the end of our race, another title is the last lap, the last length of the final lap. You know, in the 400 meters, 4 by 400 meters, the last lap, right? It's the last length of the last lap. The people around you matters. You know, it was told Alexander the Great, check me out on this, had three wishes before he died. Check me out, Google. Alexander the Great's last wish, three. And one of them was a very unusual wish, was carried out. He said that when I die, in spite of the fact that I had great wealth, great conquests, great reputation, Alexander the Great, at the age of 30 over years old, he said, bury me, but let one of my hands come out of the casket. Check me out. Historical. Why? People ask him, why? He said, I've conquered the world. I've done a lot of things most people have not done. But empty I come into the world. Empty I will go. So bury me with one hand out of the casket. You can own a lot of real estate, my friend. All you need is 6 feet by 6 feet, 6 feet, that's all, at the end. You cannot carry 1 square foot of your HDB with you. You cannot carry 1 cent of your Sing dollars, even though it's very high, 3.7 now. You cannot carry 1 cent with you. Very important. Very important. The other person he mentioned here is Alexander. Alexander, the metal worker. And this guy had got the infamous reputation of being mentioned twice in Paul's letter to Timothy, twice. Why? He did me great harm. Now, what did he do? We don't know, but I'm speculating. Because Alexander was with Paul. Now, all of these people were with Paul, right? But in the end, they deserted him. He did me great. What did he do? Probably over table talk. I'm just speculating here. Paul would have mentioned, the government is like that one, lah. You know what I mean? The government like that, lah. We all talk like that one, right? Table talk on him, ah. You know, maybe Singaporeans don't do that, right? But in Malaysia, we always criticize government left, right, center, one, ah. But table talk. So maybe Alexander was one of the witnesses, and the Roman authorities, did Paul say this against Caesar? Yes, he did. Did me great harm. And there are others. Hymenaeus shipwrecked his faith. Man, goodness. Make sure you don't shipwreck your faith, huh? Phygius Hermogenes. But the good news is this. There was another list. I call this not the rogues gallery, but the roll call of honor. The roll call of honor. And the first on the list is Onesiphorus. Who's Onesiphorus? You go back to 2 Timothy. Onesiphorus, he's been said, let me just read to you, just to share with you what this guy did. He went around, Onesiphorus went around to all the prisons of Rome. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. Look, refresh people. When you refresh others, you yourself are refreshed. Spend your life not criticizing this lah, then that lah. No. Why don't you spend your life encouraging people? Be a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas. You know, my favorite character in the Old Testament is David. Not the adulterous part, but my favorite character in the New Testament is Barnabas. Because he's an encourager. And that's what Onesiphorus did. He went around to all the prisons in Rome. You know how many prisons are there in Rome? It's not like a Pudu jail or something like that, or Changi jail, whatever it is. You know? If my wife were here, you'll frown at me, right, by this point. All of them are just holes. Hey, Paul, are you there? There's no Paul here. Went to the next prison. Paul? Yeah, Paul. No, not this Paul. And then finally, Paul. How are you, Paul? Went around all the prisons to refresh Paul. Roll call of honor. And of course, I go on, Titus, Luke, John Mark, remember John Mark? Rejected. There are no rejects in God's kingdom. Now, I'm going to ask you, I've got to move on. In the end, which list will you be in? That's a good question. In the end, which list will you be in? The rogues gallery or the roll call of honor? So in the end, the people around you matters. But in the end, the purpose that you lived for matters your entire life. Don't wait until you reach about 80, 90 years old and then applaud, I will go to Africa. You can't even walk out of your house. What for, go to mission trip to Africa, right? No, live for God. Live for God, man. You know, don't wait until your children get graduate lah. You think you're busy, you will never be an unbusy one. How are you? Busy. How are you? Busy. Busy doing what? Everybody is busy, right? Busy doing what? Look, live for God. Amen. So whatever you do, make sure that you live for God. That's the reason why Paul writes, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, a favorite verse, he said, you know, I fought a good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. As a tent maker, incidentally, it's a tent maker. So don't say, hey, Pastor, I'm not full-time. Look, Paul was a tent maker, right? I was a tent maker. I was doing bivocational ministry for a long, long time, like Philip Lin, until I went full-time. Okay. Listen, Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? In other words, life is actually about profit and loss. Can I repeat that? Not only your P&E statement at the end of your company's end of the year, your life, my life, is a P&E statement. It's about profit, it's about loss. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world, but you lose your own soul? What are you living for? What do you live for? Don't be a loser. Please. You think you have gained a lot of things, but you end up a loser. Live for God. Live for God. I can tell you so many stories, you know. I graduated from the University of Malaya in 1971, way before many of you were born, as the third batch of medical graduates from the University of Malaya. At that time, I was the third batch of medical graduates. Most of my lecturers came from University of Singapore. Professor T.J. Dhanaraj was my professor. Today, after 50 over years of graduation, for the last 10 years, my medical class of 1971, we meet every year. Whether you come from Singapore or Australia or US or UK, we come back together once a year. And it is a law of diminishing returns because less and less people come because more and more die. Either that or they are so disabled and sick they cannot come. It's a law of diminishing returns. But every time we meet, we talk and we joke and he will ask, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm retired now. I got a house in Melbourne, you know, a heated swimming pool. I got 3 cars. What are you doing now? Oh, I'm in Singapore. I'm retired now. You know, one of the 4 best cardiologists in Singapore is my classmate. You know, that kind of thing. They're doing so well, you know. And then, you know, hey, Vinci, what are you doing? Pastor. What car do you drive? Proton. I'm so fulfilled. I'm so fulfilled. What do you live for? I ask you. Live for God. Understand? Live for God. And the third thing that matters is not only the people around you, not only the purpose you live for, which is very, very important, hear me well, is the person that you have become at the end. Very important. At the end, are you better or are you bitter? You tell me. Very, very important. I see 2 postures here of Paul as he really comes to his final words. Number one, learn this from Paul. At the end, as you run the last length of the last lap of your life. Now, it doesn't have nothing to do with age. Huh? Because lately, I don't know about Singapore, but in Malaysia, a lot of young men at 40 to 50 years old die suddenly. May not happen here. I don't know why. Could be the vaccine. I don't know. I don't know, huh? I don't know. I'm not saying 100%, right? Because more and more evidence has been shown. I'm not anti-vaccine, all right? I'm not. Myocarditis. I don't know. But the fact is this. It's nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. Don't think that because you're a young adult now, therefore, pastor, this passage is not for me. No. At the end of the day, make sure we guard our heart. We guard our heart. You know, I attended Hillsong. I heard Hillsong 3 times. 2003, I attended Hillsong for the first time. I remembered in the opening session, Brian Houston was supposed to give the opening message. And 2 weeks before that opening day, his father, what's his father's name? Frank Houston, was discovered to have some immoral activities before. And the Australian press reveled in this news. And apparently, Brian was saying that all the Australian media was parked right in front of their houses. And in the opening day, we expected Brian to speak. He was there. I saw him. But instead, he didn't come up. His wife, Bobby Houston, came up to replace Brian. And in all her innocence, the wife of Brian Houston had only one message to 20,000 people in the Sydney Indoor Stadium. He says, guard your heart. I don't care where you come from. Guard your heart. And I say this to you, Cornerstone. At the end of your last lamp, guard your heart from what? 2 things. Number one, be forgiving. Be forgiving. Verse 16, at my defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. And then he said, very fantastic sentence. Everyone deserted me, but may it not be held against them. Who else said this? Jesus. Father, forgive. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Who else said this? Stephen. And Jesus stood up and received his son. It's hard. Believe me, it's very hard to forgive. In my 30 years of ministry, I have had many enemies. People who don't mean well for Pastor Chu. People don't mean well for SIBKL. Not everybody loves me one, you know. Pastor, it's great comfort to you. Not everybody loves Jesus as well. I had people who, because I did not accede to their demands, told me in the face, I'm going to destroy you. I have been thrown out of the house. Get out of my house. But you know something? I forgive them all. I even continue to pray for them. Forgive. Forgive. Very hard. But it is necessary. Secondly, be grateful. Two postures as we come to the close of our life. The last length of the last lap. In the end, the kind of person that you and I must be in whatever position that we are in, we are now in. Be grateful. And I can say this with all my sincerity and authenticity. I am a very grateful person. How do I know? Because my wife tells me so. And if your wife tells you so, it must be correct. If your wife says, darling, you know, I love you because you're such a grateful person. Yeah. You are absolutely right. You know, I thank God for everything. I've looked for small things to thank God for, you know. I thank God for you, Pastor. We had a wonderful, exquisite Japanese dinner last night. Thank God for you. You know where to go, ask him. I thank God for everything. I'm just looking at a watch. You know, I love to swim. I swim 3 times a week, 1 kilometer nonstop. That's why I'm so strong, right? And you know, my house is only 5 minutes from the club swimming pool. And you know, when you swim laps, you don't like people, those children playing there, you know, you knock your head, right? So I go, Lord, please give me one lane, 3 lanes, so that I can swim. And when I go there, the rain came, and I go to the pool, nobody was there. And I swim. I said, Lord, I asked for one lane. I didn't ask for this whole pool. I'm so thankful. You know, when you thank the Lord bless you, one. No? Sometimes I wish our children could thank us more, right? And not treat the house like a hotel. You know, when your children thank you as a father, don't you feel good? Thanks, Dad, for the dinner. Well, no need, but praise God. You know, when you thank God, God will give you more. Thank Him. So, finally, in the end, The people around you matters. In the end, the purpose that you have lived for matters. In the end, the person that you have become matters, and very important. In the end, the presence that carries you through matters. Why? Very interestingly, from verse 18 onwards, suddenly, Paul switched from the past tense, the Lord delivered me, the Lord gave me strength, the Lord stood at my side. So we were so thankful, right? He remembered what God did for him in the past. And then suddenly, from verse 18, he switched to the present future tense, the Lord will rescue me. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. The Lord will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory. Why? Why is it that in a few months' time, Paul is going to be beheaded by Nero? He's only got a few months to live. Why suddenly switch from the past to the present tense? Why? Because in those few months, Paul can fall one, no. Paul can fall. Very important. Don't take it for granted. You know, Billy Graham was asked once, right? When you go to heaven, what is the first thing you say to God? He said, thank God I made it. Make sure. Make sure. I like this picture as I close. In a lot of Olympic games, the leading runner in the 110 meter hurdles, I've seen it how many times? That guy is leading, but the final hurdle, he tripped. You can still trip more. You can still trip. Last two verses of Paul's writing. Lord, you will rescue me. You will be with me. Cornerstone, make sure. Don't take it for granted. Do not allow anything to come in between you and God. Not ministry, not wealth, not success, not your family. Nothing. So my prayer for you as I go back to KL, it's been a very busy time for me. You know, yesterday I was so harassed. I literally went from Changi to Cornerstone, from the plane to the pulpit, you know. So I was a little bit harassed at the first service, but today I'm so rested. Can I encourage you, my friend? Live well for God. Will you do that? Live well for, don't, oh, end well. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Be like Paul. And then all the public speaking and all the words are finished. At the end of the day, four things. All right. Make sure you're in the roll call of honor, not the rogues gallery. Support your church. Build this church. God has called you to Cornerstone. Support your pastor. Together, build Cornerstone to be one of the leading churches, is a leading church, a more leading churches, not in numbers, but in influence. In influence. It's never about the size. It's always about the strength. In SIBKL, we've got a saying, everybody knows this. Big is not strong. Small is not strong. Strong is strong. So everybody say after me, big is not strong. Small is not strong. What is strong?
Strong.
Absolutely. If you are strong, you are strong. Don't worry about the size. Worry about your strength. I'm a doctor. If you're healthy, you're strong. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Will you do that? Just close your eyes. Those of you online as well, I would encourage you, whether you're in the living room or even your bedroom for that matter, you know, just reflect on what I've shared with you in the last half an hour. In the end, what really matters to your life? what really matters to your life? Would you reflect on this? So that at the end of the day, you can go back again to verse 6 to verse 8. I finished. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Guard your heart, my friend. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. No, things do not always go right, man. Don't do that. Let me give you two examples in 1 minute. There's one dato in my church. The wife had a brain tumor. For many years, after the surgery, she was well. But lately, over the last 6 months, the tumor came back and she is getting blind. But because of what has happened to the wife, he's so angry with God. Doesn't come to church. I visited him. He said, "Pastor, don't come again. I will call you when I am ready." Very bitter man. There's another one who just lost his eldest son suddenly in London. He died. When they discovered his body, 3 weeks later, the body was already decomposed. Computer was still on, the phone was still charging, the light was still on. 49 years old. Grieved. But he told me, he said, "Pastor, no matter what happens, I will never blame God." Which category will you be in? You tell me. Which category will you be in? Life is so unpredictable. Not that everything is going to do well for you, you know. End well. What kind of a person will you be? Will you be forgiving? Will you be forgiving? You know, I've counseled so many people on a dying bed, both as a doctor as well as a pastor. And one of the key things I minister to those who are terminal is this: they must have the peace of God and a God of peace, not only with God, but with their loved ones, understand? Very important. I remembered once, I was the medical director of the hospital as well, as a consultant in gynecology. I was called down to minister to a dying man because they know that I was a pastor. Ma. So I went down and prayed for this man. As I prayed for him, I couldn't connect with him. I knew something was blocking. He was dying. And then I looked, I saw the woman, her wife, just arranging the hot water bottle, and I could feel the vibes between the two. It was antagonism. And I said, "No, I cannot pray for you." I said, "I'm going to go out for half an hour. You come and make peace with your wife." I called the wife. I put her hand on the husband's hand. I went out for half an hour. I came back. Both of them were crying. They reconciled. They reconciled. I went out. I prayed for the man. I went out 1 hour later. He has passed away. Forgive. Forgive. And always be grateful, my friend. Thank the Lord. Look for small, small things to thank God. And the more you thank Him, the more the Lord will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your goodness you've blessed us with. We love you, Jesus. We will never let you go because you will never let us go.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.